So thankful for the opportunity to preach tonight. If you have your Bible, go ahead and open your Bible to Galatians chapter 5. We'll be starting verse 16. When you find your spot, if you go ahead and honor God by standing as we read the word, if you're physically able. If you're not, we understand, but if you're physically able, I guess I drive all people to the back when I preach. All right. The long-suffering, the fruit of the Spirit. It's been good just to hear the other men preach on the fruit of the Spirit. And looking forward to what God's going to do tonight. Let's begin reading in verse number 16. The Bible says this, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Basically, there's no limit. I mean, there's no limit to the fruit that you can produce and when you walk in the Spirit. I've never seen anybody get in trouble for showing too much love to their mother. Or I've never seen a husband or a wife get in trouble for showing too much love to their spouse. I've never gotten pulled over for showing too much love on the highway. So there's no limit to the fruit that we can produce if we walk in the Spirit. Verse 24, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." Let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight. Thank you so much for your word. God, I pray that you would help me to proclaim your truth. God, I pray that you would use me. God, I know that it's your word, your Holy Spirit that does the work, the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of your word. I pray, God, that you'd help give me clarity of thought and that you'll receive all the honor and glory for everything that's said and done in here tonight. And God, please be with the teens that are at camp. I pray, God, that you'll continue to stir in their hearts and draw them closer to you, God. And whoever you might be calling to the ministry or, God, whoever you're calling to serve in Bethany Baptist Church in a way, or things that you're doing in their lives just to reconcile friendships that they might have or other things, God, sin that they have in life, God, would you please continue that work? Thank you for the two that got saved, and God, we look forward to what you're going to continue to do, and we'll give you all the praise and honor and glory that's due to your name. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. So I know this might be profound, but I've learned a lot from Pastor. So I've learned how to make titles for sermons from him. So the title that I have tonight is The Fruit of Long-Suffering. I mean, it's right there in the text, The Fruit of Long-Suffering. I have another title that I decided to, that came to me at last minute. I'll call it this, Long-Suffering, Living with Colin. I'm just kidding. I love Brother Colin. I named it something else, but I told Brother Mason, but I'm not. I told Mary, but I'm not going to tell anybody else. But long suffering is part of life. Long suffering with different people. So think about this: long suffering with the government. And we witnessed Sri Lanka, Pastor and I, and the government there is corrupt. I mean, it is no good. There are people that they can't even get fuel because of just the corruptness in the government and everything that's going on. Long-suffering with DMV. Let's move on. I might still have some bitterness there. No, I don't. No. Long-suffering with leaders. Long-suffering with aging parents. You know, parents can get older and maybe dementia or other things come up, and it can be easy to become short with them when things like that happen, or even for aging parents to be short with their children. Long-suffering with kids. Pastor said, you want to experience something, come next week with us to junior camp. Long-suffering with relatives, you know, said. What about long-suffering with your closest friends? Long-suffering with coworkers? Long-suffering with your boss? Well, not my boss. I mean, if there's any kind of long-suffering, it's on this side. Okay, he's been long-suffering to me, and I'm so thankful I still have a job. But long-suffering with maybe your employer or your employees. When I lived in North Carolina, I worked for a grocery store, Piggly Wiggly. I worked there for 3 years. And then I went to start working for another grocery store called Food Lion. And when I got the job at Food Lion, I had a boss named Rosemary Jones. And I don't know what it is about the situation there, but God brought me into favor with Rosemary Jones. I started there as a frozen food manager, and I got promoted within a month to grocery manager. And I mean, anything that I wanted, she would do for me. I mean, if I needed, if I wanted a raise, I'll have to go say, "Miss Rosemary, can I get a raise?" And she'll do whatever it took to get a raise. If I said, "Miss Rosemary, can I work extra hours this week?" She's like, "Go ahead." I mean, nobody was allowed overtime, but I there's something that I found in favor with her. And so working there at Food Lion, I enjoyed it. And then about 2 years into working for Food Lion, or 1 year and a half, she got transferred to another store. And another boss came in. And he was a good boss, but he was different. And so he came in, and he would make the schedule for the work week. He would make it Thursday, Friday, and he would post it. And so I would see it, and I would go look at it. I would write down my schedule. And next thing I know, the Saturday afternoon, he's changed it. And now he's like changed the whole week up. And this didn't happen on a once in a while. This happened regularly. He would take and he would schedule me from like closing the store from 1 p.m. to 11 p.m. and have me coming back in the next morning at 3 a.m. to unload the grocery truck with the other workers. And so these things that he did, he would tell me, "Hey, are the stockers done stocking the shelves?" I say, "Yes." He said, "Okay, go ahead and send them home so we can save on labor." So, okay, I'd go send them home. And then the next day I know, "Hey, where's so-and-so? Where's so-and-so? You told me to go home." "Why'd they go home?" I mean, it was constantly just these things going on. He would, even in the middle of the week, he would take and switch the schedule up. Be Wednesday, something's going on Friday or Saturday that he wants to go do, he would switch it up. And I mean, the schedule would change all the time. And he even started working me on Sundays and things that we had previous agreements that I could have off on Sundays to go to church. But he started working me on Sundays. And this went on for weeks, months. It was like 6, 9, 12 months. I mean, this is going on. And I had it. Oh, I'm telling you, I was done. I got in my pickup truck, jacked up pickup truck. I drove over there. I got out of my truck. I walked into the grocery store, and he came from the office area, was walking towards register number 8, and he was carrying a tray for the register there. And he goes over there and begins to put it in the register, and I go over there, and I'm ready to let him have it. Oh, I go over there, I say, "You no good dog. You make me work. You change the schedule. You always change things on me. You're the hardest boss I've ever worked for, and I dislike working for you. You can't even imagine anything right." And I said, "I hate working for you." And I turned around, and I walked out. And the whole time I was saying that, he goes, "I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that." And he was very apologetic. And I walked out, and as soon as I got to the door, I walked out the door, the Holy Spirit said, "You did it, Carl. You let the flesh out, and you let him control you." And so we see that Pastor had the first message, and he talked about how that the flesh and the spirit, they're against each other. And they're working against each other, and with that, they're opposing each other. And as they oppose each other, it's like this. He said that you can be easily led of the Spirit, or you can follow the flesh. And they're both calling after you to follow them. And here they are. They're against each other. The Spirit is calling you to follow him, while the flesh is doing its best to try to get you to listen to it, to you. Because the flesh is you. And the flesh is the corrupt nature that we were born into. And I like to picture it this way, just to help me out a little bit. And I picture it like the cartoon, the angel and the devil. The angel pops up, and though the Holy Spirit is lives inside you when you get saved, and he indwells in the believer, and he speaks to us as we follow him and as we are supposed to follow God. But I picture it like the angel pop up and is telling you, "Don't do this," or, "Hey, respond this way. Hey, do this." And the devil pops up, your flesh, and with a pitchfork and says, Ah, let them have it. I give it to them. They deserve it. And just, they're going back and forth. And you and I have a choice to make in that moment of whether we're going to say no to the flesh or they're going to say yes to the Spirit and let the Spirit lead. See, verse 24 talks about that. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. And I don't want to get too far ahead because pastors probably won't preach that. But it talks about how that the flesh is crucified. But I thought the flesh was alive. It is. The word crucified in that the tense is there is that you have to continually say no to it. And it is the idea of this that you nail or impale the flesh to the cross that which Christ died on. And you say no to the flesh and you nail the flesh to the cross. Say, I'm not doing that. I'm listening to the Spirit and I'm going to follow the Spirit. And so that's the idea here that Paul's getting across that you need to say no to the flesh and say yes to the Spirit. One commentary said this, walking in the Spirit brings into our lives the mightiest motives of true holy living and so puts on a bridle on the neck and a bit in the mouth of our untamed desires. Holding fellowship with the divine indweller, which is the Holy Spirit, and giving him the reins into a strong hand and receiving from him the adoption and learn that if we are children, then we are heirs. Is there any motive that will so surely steal the desires of the flesh and of the mind as the blessed thought of this, that God is ours and we are his? Surely their feet should never stumble or stray. Who are aware of the Spirit of the Son bearing witness with the Spirit that they are children of God? Surely the measure in which we realize this will be the measure in which we desire of the flesh, surely the measure in which we realize this will be the measure in which desires of the flesh will be whipped back into their kennels and cease to disturb us with their barks. The flesh and the Spirit are against each other. And we have to immediately say no to the flesh when when he comes and those thoughts or those provokings come, we must immediately say no to the flesh and say yes to the Spirit. It's crucified. You crucify your flesh with Christ. Let's look back and recap a little bit on the first three fruit of the spirits. And because I think they tie together, and as we follow them, all three of them would help us to see how they jointly fit one another. And I think the first three really deal with are connected to our relationship with God. Love is the willingness, sacrificial giving of oneself for the benefit of others without the thought of return. Love begins when someone else's need is more important than mine. Love is when you sacrifice your will for others. Joy is a deep sense of well-being apart from circumstances, a cheerful, calm delight and rejoicing in circumstances of life. It's contentment that is in Christ in any circumstance. You have contentment in your relationship with Christ. Joy flows through your relationship with God. When a person lives in the sphere of love, his relationship with God, then he experiences joy, that the inward peace and sufficiency that is not affected by the outward circumstances. Joy is a deep down sense of well-being that abides in the heart of the believer who knows all is well between him and God. True peace doesn't come from the absence of trouble, but from the presence of God. When a believer walks in the Spirit, they'll have fellowship with God. The more they know God, the more that they will see God's love for them. This will motivate them to love God more, which will result in loving others more. Which produces a deep joy in their relationship and a peace that passes all understanding, a peace that comes from your relationship with God. It goes right into long-suffering. The first one that we're going to work with is long-suffering, and you have the next six, it deals with our relationship with others around us, of mankind. long-suffering. It describes the attitude of patience, endurance toward inflictors of injury or enemies. If we come forth from the blessed presence and fellowship with God, where love, joy, and peace reign unbroken and are met with cold gusts of indifference or with icy winds of hate, the reality of our happy communion and death of love will be tested by patience of our long suffering. 1 Corinthians says, charity suffereth long. Love, long suffering. Here's a couple of definitions that I've written down. One is tolerating injustice at the hands of others without retaliating. An enduring temptation, enduring temperament that expresses itself with the shortcomings of others without retaliating. Webster's 1828 says this, bearing injustice or provocation for a long time, patient, not easily provoked. Illustration of this I heard once before, and it kind of makes me think of Brother Colin and myself. He had two friends, and the two friends, they hang out all the time, and they enjoy fellowship together and time together. Well, one sends his friend an embarrassing and ridiculous birthday card, so he sends 40 back to him. And so to which he gets those 40 birthday cards, he's like, I can't believe he did this. So he has delivered to his friend's house a 4,000-pound rock in his yard, backed up, dropped in the middle of his yard. So here's this 4,000-pound rock. And so his friend goes to his other friend's door, the friend that has the rock in his yard. He goes to his other friend's house, and he knocks on the door and knocks on it. And as soon as they open, he goes, and there's a heaping pile of pebbles, over 4,000 pebbles. He goes, your rock had babies, and walks away. And so we want to, when we're done wrong, we want to retaliate to the other person that did us wrong because we feel that we are done injustice. And long-suffering is not like that. Long-suffering is, hey, they did me wrong, but it looks down saying, you know what? There might be something going on in their life that I don't know about. Hey, they said something mean to me that was unkind or even saying rumors about me. It's okay. There might be something going on in their life that I don't know about, but God knows. I don't worry because all is well between me and God. And that's what matters. Long suffering is when you seek their best and put up with their worst. Brother Colin. Any fool can answer a fool according to his folly, but it takes a wise believer who walks in the Spirit to overcome evil with the good and to love them that hate you. Long-suffering, we see it in the Bible. It starts from the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 6, God looks down upon man, and he sees the wickedness that's going around all around the earth, and it grieves his heart that he created man. And so what he does is he sends a preacher of righteousness, Noah, to go and preach to those that are there. And for 120 years, God's long-suffering, his patience is towards those people that through the preaching and through the time of Noah building the ark and Noah proclaiming God's judgment, that they would come to him and repent and get right and do what's right. And to that, he was long-suffering for 120 years, and only 8 people entered that ark. God patiently delayed the flood in order to give people time to repent. He was long-suffering. David says this prayer in Psalms 86:15, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. David prays that. David, who he was a man after God's own heart, but then also, you know what he did with Bathsheba, and he's expressing that God is a long-suffering God. Peter tells us that God is long-suffering toward all mankind, forestalling Christ's second coming to give people time to repent and believe. 2 Peter 3:9, but God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward that all should come to repentance. He's waiting for people to get saved. He's long-suffering. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I find that convicting because there's times that I say, Lord, there's a guy in Bible college, we went to missions prayer band, and he would always end his prayer with, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And he would always end that way. And there's times that I'm like, I can't wait till he comes back because it's getting worse. But you know what? He's long-suffering. When I'm not long-suffering to those out there that are lost, because I'm so concerned about myself and injustice that happens around, that I'm ready to go home with him when he's long-suffering that they might come to know him as their Savior. He's long-suffering. We see that. And we also see that Paul confessed that as the chiefest of sinners, he found mercy in God's sight. That Jesus Christ might show forth all suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life eternal. Believers are to follow the example of God and the example of Christ. In Colossians 3:12, it says, put on therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. We are to be long-suffering to those. And it's a direct outflow of our relationship with God. Because when we spend time with God and we love him like he loves us or the best that we can, because we can't truly love God like he loves us. I can't. I don't know about you, but I can't. I'm going to try my best. But when we do our very best and follow him and we love other people and we experience the joy and the peace, what flows from that is long-suffering to others. But because we know what we've done to God and we know where they're at and we can be long-suffering to them. We can seek their best interests and put up with the injustice. Memorial Day weekend, Brother Steph and Miss Whitney came and were here that weekend. It was a busy weekend. It was a good weekend, but it was a busy weekend. And Pastor gave us off Monday and Tuesday, and I'm confessing my sin. I didn't necessarily take off. Anyway, so Saturday was busy. Sunday was busy. The bus too broke down. Brother Fangs, we're driving out. He's like, there's no brakes. And so we get back to the church. And so I'm thinking, we're going to go on a fishing trip. We need to take the bus on the fishing trip. And so I'm like, okay, I need to get up there, figure out what part it is. So I come up here on Monday and I begin to look at the bus and see what's going on with it and try to figure out what it is. And so I got an idea. I got it back in there and it was like, it was working. It was fixed. I'm like, okay, that's good. I go home. It was a long day. And then Tuesday, something else came up. I can't remember what it was, but long day. Anyway, Wednesday, another long day. I was here early, late. And then Thursday, I had to get some stuff done. I came in a little early, and then Miss Kaylee, the thing at Miss Callie's house. So I was watching the boys, and so Mary brought the boys up here, and I was cleaning out the shop, trying to get that done. And so Kaylee's a little, I don't know what it's called, I don't know, at Callie's house. Anyway, Mary went to that. I was watching the boys, and then it was a late night that night. We were going to cut the grass Wednesday, but couldn't because of the rain. And then Thursday night, it rained hard, so we couldn't cut the grass Friday morning. And so we decided to cut the grass on Saturday afternoon at 5 o'clock. And then Friday morning, we get work done. And then some kids that did really good in patch, we had planned to take them to Amarillo Wonder Park. And so we've done it, things like this in the past. And knowing me, I get busy, and it gets put off. And I'm like, no, we're going to do it. And so we decided to go ahead and do it. We get the kids. We leave the church Friday afternoon about 2 o'clock. We go down there and we're having fun, and the park closes at 10 o'clock. And so we're down there for a little while, and it was like 9 o'clock. There's some rain that came in. Eight o'clock, some rain came in. And as we're there, if it rains before 8 o'clock, they'll say you can come back because you didn't spend much time, because it only opens at 5. So you don't get, it was very little time. And I wanted them to enjoy as much as they could. They earned it. So it started raining about 8:15, 8:30, a little bit, but the storms all went north of us, and so we were riding rides. It was fun. And about 8:45, they begin to close the rides down, and so I'm like, okay, what's going on? And some of them, they said they broke. Okay, and we were riding the other rides, and we're having fun, and we're on the Texas Tornado, or one that spun around that almost made me get sick to my stomach. Thank you, Addison, and others that we're riding. And so, well, it was right about 9 o'clock, and they wanted Dippin' Dots, and I told them, okay, well, we'll get you Dippin' Dots, and well, they closed the Dippin' Dots down, and I'm sitting there like, okay, and I'm seeing everything else closed down, and there's some clouds above us, but the radar shows It's all, I mean, literally, I'm a weather guru. I watched Weather Channel's Locals on the 8 when I was from the age of 5 all the way to 15. I mean, so I was watching, I'm like watching it and it's developing, but it went above us 20 miles north of Amarillo. And I'm thinking, okay, we got plenty of time to ride more rides. And, well, they're starting to close the park down. So I just go back in the back and say, hey, is there a reason why you're closing everything down? He said, well, this ride broke and this ride is not working. And I said, what about the Dippin' Dots? He goes, well, nobody's buying anything. And I'm like, well, we're here and I have some kids that want to get some Dippin' Dots. He goes, all right, okay, fine. Well, we'll get you out there. I'm like, okay. So I walk out there. They come and open the Dippin' Dots up and they get Dippin' Dots. We eat Dippin' Dots. And so they're eating their Dippin' Dots and there's still some rides that were open at that time. And so we're going to go ride those again. Well, they begin to close those down. And I noticed there's one guy that was standing around talking to different employees. And I recognized that I was the owner, and it was about 9:15-ish maybe. And I go to him, I'm like, hey, why is everything closing down? He goes, nobody's here and nobody's riding. I'm like, well, we're here riding. He goes, which ones are you riding? I'm like, we're riding this one and this one. And he goes, well, this one, the chain popped off. And he's like, and there's storms coming and we got to close down. There's a storm. I'm like, I open my phone. I'm like, well, the storms are, I mean, they're literally, you can see it. It's night and day. They're way up north. And as it's going on, my flesh is saying, you let him have it. No, don't be easy on him. Give it to him. You paid for it. And he's like, he's provoking me to do what's wrong and to have wrath and anger. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, and the spirit is saying, good testimony. Listen to me. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay. And he goes, and I'm like, well, the kids want to ride the ride. He's like, well, they're just closed. And everything inside me will say, you're ugly, and I mean it. And I wanted to tell him, but I says, that's sad. And I just turned around and walked away. Long night, we're on the way home, hit a skunk, van stinks. I mean, it couldn't get any better than this, okay? And we're not even done. We drop the kids home off of their home, and we get home. It's 12:30, 1 o'clock. It was a good night. The kids enjoyed it. They didn't know anything about that. They enjoyed it. And so we get home, and we get the boys in bed. They're knocked out. Mary and I get to sleep. Well, it's a long day, Saturday coming up. And so here am I coming up to church early to get some stuff done. I need to finish getting ready for Sunday and a couple of things. And then we have outreach at 10. And then there's a bus safety meeting at 11, which we need. And then there's a tea party at 2. And I'm trying to juggle out, figure out with the boys, and just normal things of life that everybody else deals with. But this is just what's going on, and so I'm trying to juggle that around. And Brother Sean is going to ready to take. He's not here right now tonight, but Brother Sean is going to help with our bus 6 or start taking over for the bus that we're on the east. And so he's going to go out with me bus visiting to get to know the kids and get to know where they live. And so we're getting ready to go do that as well on this day. And so after the bus meeting, I'm working with Brother Sean, working some of the fishing trip things, and I still need my license. I haven't got my fishing license, and I was told I can get online, but I'm too cheap. You got to pay extra $5. That's on me. I know, but I'm so cheap. Well, here we are. Brother Sean and I, we go to bus visits. It's good bus visits, good fellowship. We loved it, every second of it. We get back to the church about 4 o'clock. Still got to cut grass. So I get out there, start cutting grass, and so I put my headphones in because I'm wanting to listen to some music, just piano music. So I'm listening to piano music, cutting the grass. I put a sandwich out there, and I was going to eat a sandwich, and I had it right there, and next thing I know, I run over the sandwich. And I'm like, okay, all right. And so I cut the grass. I get done. It's late. Brother David, I asked Brother Colin to edge the property, and Trent was going to help, and they were doing that, and there's some things that had to be redone. And so working through that and trying to do it and make sure things look good for God's house and his property, make sure they're well done. And it was like 9 o'clock. I was finishing up, and I was following through some things, making sure everything was done and in the right place because it was a busy week, and which is good. I love busyness because you know that God's at work and you just see the ministries. And so here we are at 9 o'clock, 9:30, quarter to 10. I make it out to my truck and I'm still listening to my music. And I sit down in my truck and I'm like, I can breathe. Oh, no. I still don't have my fishing license. And Miss Kim, bless her heart, she told me I go to Walmart and they're open till 9 o'clock and I can get my fishing license. So I'm like, okay, all right, I'm going to Walmart. And also I need something else from Walmart. So I needed to get a card for Brother Jarrett and Miss Kaylee because last weekend was the wedding for Brother Andrew and Monica. And We dropped the ball and didn't give them a card. So you know what I did? I found a thank you card in my office and said, hey, scratch, scratch, we're so glad you're getting married. And it was a thank you card. As long as there's money in it, that's all that mattered. And so we gave that to my, I can't do this again. So I get there and I'm like, okay, so I take Quaker all the way to Marsh Sharp. I'm going to go to the Walmart out there on Milwaukee because I at least I know if I go to that Walmart, there's probably some, it's going to be good service, okay? I'm going to go there. And so I drop all the way out there to that Walmart and I park. And I'm going to get a card. Since I'm there, I'm going to get a fishing license. And I'm going to give me some oodles and noodles because that's a good comfort food for me, okay? So I'm going to get that, go home, and put it with some chicken Alfredo. And so I go to Walmart, and I'm focused. Okay, I got to get my fishing license. And I go over there, and nobody's around the fishing department. It's about 10 o'clock. And so I find somebody, say, hey, can you help me? I need to get a fishing license. Okay, okay, and they're walking. I find somebody. I'm sitting there, and I'm just waiting. And I have my headphones in. I'm listening to music. And a guy... Hick from Arkansas came up, and I'm like, I thought it was my relative. I honestly did. And so I'm sitting there. He comes up there and goes, hey, I mean, he's got some shorts on. His legs are wide as a ghost. I mean, it's like he's wearing sandals. His toes are out. I mean, I'm just telling enough. And he's got hair. I mean, it's like, I'm like, it's my relative. He goes, hey, can you help me find one of those lanterns you put around your neck? And I'm like, and everything in me, like my flesh, want to say, don't help them. You're here for one thing. Don't do it. And so I'm sitting there. And I'm like, okay. I take it out, my headphones out. I'm like, okay, what is it you need? And he goes, I'm looking for one of those lanterns you put around your neck. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, okay, well, I went to go look at my phone. He goes, you work here? Just use that thing. I'm like, no, I don't work here. I'm just waiting for a fishing license. And he begins to talk to me about all kinds of things. And I'm like, all I want to do is go home and get in bed, eat some food. And so I'm sitting there, and I was standing there talking to him, and the Lord impressed me to talk to him about the Lord. And I'm like, okay, Lord, you got to open the door. Anyway, he did. And he's like, what brings you down? Because he's like, what are you fishing for? He's like, you don't need a fishing license. I'm like, well, I don't want to get caught without fishing. It's not a good testimony. I want to do what's right. He goes, yeah, where I grew up is like that. I'm like, yeah, where I grew up, you had to have one too. Where are you from? And he started talking about it. And then why he brings you out here? So we talked about that. Well, then another guy comes out about that time as we're talking about it. And he sits there and he goes, his name is Jim. And I thought about you, Brother Jim. And he stands there, comes out there. He's pulling a manager. He pulls a pallet with him. And I said, hey, can you help me get a fishing license? And he goes, the guy that does that called in sick today. And there's supposed to be three that work in here, but we can't find any employees, and we only have one that works night shift over here. I'm sorry. And my flesh wanted to say, they got it on their website. They say they're open, and everything they wanted me to decide to say, all the things that's going wrong and injustice and things that happened, I wanted to, like, let them have it. And the Spirit said, no, no. And so I was like, okay, thanks. And we talked for a minute, and I left, and I'm like, okay, I'm going home. I'm just going to do it online and pay the $5. As I'm on my way home, I'm thinking, I didn't even get a card. And it's like, so I go back to the other Walmart, and I finally get home. It's 11 o'clock. I'm tired, and I still need a haircut because we're going to be gone on a fishing trip, and then we're going to, then Pastor and I are going to go to Sri Lanka, and I need a haircut because there's no time. And so Mary's going to give me a haircut. I get a haircut. I'm sitting in the chair. She's cutting my hair, and the boys are in bed. And the boys, they share a single bed. And Silas lays from the head down to the feet. He's not super long, but he does that. Peter has to lay across there, and he thinks he's royalty. He needs a pillow on his feet and a pillow on his head so he can lift up and relax his feet. I'm like, don't worry. So they're in there, and then next thing I know, Peter goes, Silas, stop putting your feet on me. And Silas goes, roll over to your side. And they're bickering and arguing, and they're going back and forth. And Mary's cutting my hair. I'm tired. I haven't eaten. And I'm sitting there. I'm about to go in there. I'm like, the flesh says, you tell them to be quiet. You're the dad. Tell them to be quiet and go to bed. And I get there, and I'm like, I still wanted to do it. But I got in there, and I knelt down. And I said, hey, boys, come here. And I put them on my knee. And I said, come here. And the lesson for kids' church that Sunday was unity. And I just began to talk to them. I was like, hey, what does the Bible say about dwelling in unity? What does it say about being kind one to another? And everything inside me just wanted to be upset and get onto them in a harsh way when the Spirit was wanting to me to handle it the proper way. And by God's grace, I did, but I didn't want to. Everything inside me wanted to let that flesh off parole. It wanted me to let the flesh dictate what I do. But I had to nail the flesh to the cross and say, no, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to react that way. I'm not going to respond in anger. I'm not going to respond in frustration. I'm going to calm and I'm going to allow the Spirit to dictate what I say, where I walk, how I respond, because the Spirit is what I need to walk in my relationship with God. I let that food lion, you might say, well, he deserved it. He had all that coming. No, you know what happened? That anger, frustration, all it was building up inside in me until it finally came out. And you know what? We can try to pretend to produce fruit and be holding things inside our heart and suppressing it and not letting it come out till all of a sudden it just comes out. Pastor and I were coming back from Sri Lanka. And as we're coming back from Sri Lanka, it was a long flight. We were up all day. We were a flight that night. We were in the middle of the night. We flew 17 hours from Doha to Dallas. And we get off Dallas and we're getting ready to go and catch our next flight to Lubbock. And it's been a long day. We probably hadn't slept for about 40, 48 hours. Not really, just in an airplane. And so we're coming up. And we come up to where we're getting ready to go to the train at Dallas from Terminal D to go over there. And I'm telling you, it's a steep, steep escalator going up. It's probably 35 to 40 feet. No exaggeration. If you've flown international, you might know, but it's a steep elevator, tall. And it's like, it's a little intimidating. Well, there's one going up, two coming down. And Pastor says, you take that one and I'll take this one. Tired, foolish. I admit, Silas, I'm foolish too, okay? And so we're there and he goes, so I get there and I start my backpack that's probably 30 pounds on me, carrying a coffee mug and a bag. And I begin to run up the stairs, back, going up the stairs as it's coming down. And I'm going as fast as I can. And I begin to skip the stairs. And I'm trying my hardest to get up there. And I mean, I am panting. I try to drink coffee to help me to stay awake and not be so irritated, trying not to sleep. And I mean, I'm out of breath. I haven't had much water. I've been on a long plane flight. And I'm running and I'm trying my best. And I'm getting halfway up. And my legs are weak. My legs feel like jello. I mean, they're hurting. And I'm trying my best to go up these stairs backwards. And I'm like, everything inside me says, I'm not going to let him see me go back down. I'm going to go up it. I'm going to prove him wrong. I'm going to do this because I know I can do this. And everything in me says, do that. And so I'm running and I'm going, and I'm getting tired. I mean, my legs are jello. I mean, even firefighting, I've never experienced weak legs like this. And I'm running and I'm getting so tired. I'm about 15 feet from the top. And as I'm going to the top and I begin to think, man, if I try another skipping stair, I'm going to hit that top one. I'm going to boom. And so here I am. I'm running. So I begin to run just one at a time. And instead of skipping them, I'm running one. And then I realize I'm going down because I'm not going fast enough. So I pick it up. And as I'm picking up, I'm running as fast as I can. And I'm going and I'm going. And I'm like, I'm panting for breath. And all the time, Pastor's just laughing at me and hysterically laughing at me, which is making me laugh, which is not giving me the strength I need to go on and do what I need to get to the top. I finally get to the top. And you know those four steps that begin to go down so you can get on right where your feet are planted right. I get up there and I'm so tired. My legs are jello and I get there and I'm like, and I lose everything and I go, I turn around and I wave like this and I'm panting for breath and I just go down the stairs in defeat because I couldn't do it in my own strength. You know what? Sometimes as believers, we try to produce fruit in our life. We try to like, hey, I'm loving them. Hey, I'm long-suffering to them. Hey, I have joy. When all reality at times inside our heart can be dwelling thoughts, bitterness, anger, that it's just a matter of time before it comes out because you didn't say no to the flesh, but you let it build up inside you. Whenever the flesh tempts you to have those thoughts, whenever the flesh comes up and says, hey, say this or do this or think this, you need to crucify it to the cross. You need to nail it to the cross and say, hey, you don't belong here. I am a child of God and I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit's leading and I'm going to walk in the Spirit. And when you do that, the byproduct is you're going to have the fruit of the Spirit, which is true love, true joy, true peace, and true long-suffering. And you know what? You will help others. You will their best interest and put up with their worst when they come your way. Because that's what long-suffering is. It's a byproduct of walking in the Spirit and saying no to the flesh. Say no. Crucify the flesh and walk in the Spirit. Being raising kids is hard. Sometimes you want to just like let them have it. Walk in the Spirit. Be long-suffering to them. Sometimes your employees or your boss just continues to do something. If you're not walking with God and in the Spirit, you're going to, that flesh is going to come up. It's like, give them. Tell them what you mean. Tell them what they deserve. But you got to say no to that. Nail it to the cross and follow the Spirit's leading. Be easily led of the Spirit. Keep the flesh in check. Keep him where he belongs. He's anti-God. He's corrupted his nature. Follow the Spirit.